Good morning, everybody.
Here we go. You're on now.
You suffered through last week. You came back for another one. Triple A coming next week, apparently. I got called Friday. And he's doing good. But that'd be a lot of stress on his boy. And so I knew that this is a possibility. And so we're in for the haul. And I'm enjoying it because I don't travel as much and I don't do this very often anymore. I used to do it every weekend. And now it's an opportunity just to be with you and love it to you. And last week we ended our time and I offered for you to think about that circle, the others as well. How did others, we talked about how God showed up in your life last week, but now how did others impact you? How were you the recipient of a touch by others? Is there one or two or three testimonies quick?
Sound advice.
Okay, I got you. I'm not getting it here, but I've got it now.
Prayers,
yes.
Answer prayer.
Give me one answer prayer, because when I look at this, the praises, we trust yes, God to always be the same of people. But there's no list. Give me one of how God answered prayer.
That's terrific.
Bingo. We've been praying for him, for several of you, and just the fact of Jerry coming home maybe tomorrow is also an answer prayer. We've been praying for that grandma with that heart attack, what happened, because that impacts one of our ministries, big time, doesn't it? Anybody else, very quickly? Well, it's good news that Richard, we're definitely wanting him to have full recovery, we're happy, my wife and I, to have the opportunity to have my family here today with me. And some of the family's been here before, but there's one member that's never been here before. He's a tiny bit right over there. And we enjoy him. And I enjoy him all. But there he is. I mean, if there was a picture I was going to show you, it would be a picture of him. Actually, there's of Emma holding him. That'd be the picture I'd show. And they're precious, all of them. And Serenity and Ann as well. Paul and Emma, I mean. This morning, I want to go back to a text, potentially, that we skipped over. It was read, but it wasn't really unpacked. And it comes at the end of the story of where Jesus was dedicated in the temple. Remember that sermon by Pastor Richard? And then a little while later, well, actually quite a few years later, Jesus was taken back to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, things happened. And there was one of the three required annual feasts that the Jews had to participate, especially anybody, all the males over 12 years old, had to always go back to Jerusalem for three annual feasts. And on one of these pilgrim feasts, Jesus was left behind, so to speak. He stayed behind, but he didn't get left. He knew what he was doing. It was pairs that were low in the quadrant. But there's this little text, and we always say, oh, that's so nice. And we jump right over top of it after reading it. However, for me, it's a window to growth. And that's what I want to unpack a little bit today. And I was sitting back there where my daughter is sitting today, in that chair, and my heart started to beat as we read that. And I was hoping. And I went, no. God's timing. Richard and I were already talking about that I would be preaching today, possibly. I went, that is one could hold for that moment. I'm glad Richard didn't unpack it that day. Okay. And so I think that that verse, and I'll get to the verse, and it's not in the bulletin. I strategically put it in the bulletin because this is a very strategic, excuse the redundancy, verse. And it's one that will set the stage for a lot of our conversation today. Donna, I did bring it. Okay, I have permission. I got my Windex. We're going to clean the windows a little bit, okay? We're going to clean them up a little bit and take another look. If I don't get this paper put away, I'm sorry. I'll try. Okay. I'm not moving chairs today. Okay. But we want to clean that window a little bit. I want to take a look at the baby that's growing on the other side of the window. We're looking for the outside in. Right now. Later we'll turn that window around. And that God had concern for his baby. His baby. I look at my little William over there, my grandson. I'm concerned for him. What's the world going to be like for him when he grows up? I'm at the end of my laps. He's just starting his laps. And, here's God. He's concerned for his baby. And then this baby starts to grow. And he's concerned for his teenager. Oh boy. Teenagers can be a bundle, can't they? I only ever had one. She was a good one. I'm glad. When we think of our teenagers, we often think in terms of what they need materially, technologically, educationally. That's all good to a certain extent. But is that what God was thinking about when he was looking at his teenager? Not so much. Boy, but our teenagers do want their stuff. They want their stuff. Actually, we all want our stuff. Okay. And it helps in our case to have been evacuated from Venezuela. We left with 6 suitcases and a couple of carry-ons. And downsizing from 30 plus years in Venezuela in 6 suitcases. That helps. But then we made the move from Oregon to here and went, okay, we're going from 2-story. We gathered a little bit of stuff again. And we were able to get rid of a lot of stuff to move to 800 square feet. Okay. We don't need that. And in this verse, we have about Jesus and what he got as a teenager. Okay? Luke, being the medical doctor that he is, he probably studied a little bit of psychology. And in all of my years, every level of education I took, I always had to take some psychology courses. And, even though I wouldn't say I'm a psychologist, but at the same time, Here, Luke, he's doing an analysis of this baby, teenager, and he got it right. He got it right. We've already heard about all of this, but Luke wants to share with us the wholeness of what is this teenager, God's teenager. And he showed us 4 key aspects, not why the 4 panes on the window. 4 key aspects of growth and development. And so we're getting ready to really expound on this, to amplify this verse. And there it is. Luke 2:52. That's the special text that was, you can write it down now. The verse, the book and verse, okay? And Jesus grew with stuff, education, toys, a lot of friends. Well, maybe a little bit of that. It says, Jesus grew in, keep going. Okay. I I changed the paradigm a little bit. I got four steps, but that's we can. There's the four pieces to that for that window. In wisdom, physically, spiritually, and socially. Now, I'm leery to call it intellectually, but as we've been singing, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I love that because all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding comes from the Almighty. And He is the source. If we lack, we can ask of Him, and He will give it to us. And it's more than just intellect, but we can include intellectually there as well, because He did that as well. Okay. I'm sorry, William. Okay. Now, Jesus grew in wisdom intellectually, mentally. Okay. He grew in stature. And that word stature, actually, do you want to hear the Greek? No, you don't want to hear the Greek. There's a Greek. Okay. Aletheia, for stature. It means to mature, to age. So it's not just a matter of growing. It is the maturing process. So there will be a part of physically, but also emotionally. I'm going to make myself clear on that one. Okay. And so he was growing in all of this. In order for this all to happen, there was also another piece that was spiritually in favor of God and socially men, with men. The order is not necessarily the key point here. That's not the issue. He could have chosen any order. He could have started social. It's interesting that we would start with spiritual and say that that one has to be number one. And that, for me, is almost tacit that Jesus was going to grow spiritually. But there it is. It was in wisdom, and then in stature, and spiritually, then socially. He did grow more than just spiritual. He grew in all aspects. And we have to agree that Jesus was perfect, right? He was complete, right? How is it then that he grew? And the key word here for grow, the key word is grow. And we'll come back to that in a moment. But how is it that he grew if he was complete? He needed that because he was God-man. He was a double nature. And we might say, well, these four areas might not be enough. But for God and his teen nature, they were perfect. It was exactly what his teen nature needed. And with that, these four areas have been identified for us. Let me come back to the word role. That's the action word in all of this. Jesus grew, and that's why I capitalized it. You know what that word means in Greek, or is? Is prokopto. Prokopto is to drive forward, to advance, to grow in time, to be well along. In fact, a couple of your versions might even have he increased. That's the whole idea of growing, is to go beyond. Does growing, is that one moment? Never. It's an ongoing thing. We're going to grow the church. Does that mean, oh, we started 20 years ago and that's it?
No.
It's sedentary. We stopped. No. To grow a church means we're going to continue on. There's a start point, yes, but it's an ongoing process. I won't bore you with all the grammar in Greek on that one, but that's basically the issue. It's starting point with an arrow going on. Or upward, I guess, would be grow. It means a process. We should all be in this process of growing. Does Luke 2:52 have an application for us? I think so. Does it have an application for our church? Yes. some of you might be thinking that there are, well, there should be a lot of other things that should be included. And I think this list is inclusive, not exclusive. It allows you to add a few other things. I don't think there's a Bible verse that says you can't add anything to this one, to this list. Maybe not to the Bible, but to what you're going to do with your teenager. Most of the things that we would like to add to this list can somehow be worked into one of these. Right? I think any one that you would throw out, we could sort of add there. It might be a sub-point. Naturally, if we're thinking of our list, we all have a list. I mean, if we're thinking of our baby, we'll have a list. And but here's God thinking about his baby. Effie and I had the opportunity a few years ago to travel to Israel in 2018. And as I was thinking about this baby and the context where he grew up, and I remember driving through Nazareth, I'll show you the picture. There's the window view from our bus as we were coming into Nazareth. I have other pictures from in Nazareth. But for me, Nazareth is a nondescript town. I really didn't enjoy it much. It was raining that day. And we drove through. We actually spent more time in Cana, which is, Jesus went to the wedding, the Cana wedding. That's a twin city to Nazareth. It's right next door. So we actually spent more time there than we did in Nazareth. Partly because we couldn't find Jesus' house. I'm just joking. But anyways, as you look at that picture, it doesn't look that appealing. I had a lot of other better pictures of Israel than that one. And actually, the window needed a little bit of cleaning too. Now, what was it like for Jesus, let's say, back it up, 2,000 years? There was a dictatorship going on. It was harsh. The Roman Empire was in place. There was rules and regs for the Jews in their religious system, but there was also this whole political thing. And so there was a lot of stuff going on that way. Also, Nazareth was actually birthed out of Judeans that had left Judea around Jerusalem and Bethlehem, and they got up here and started this building called Nazareth. The word actually means the branch. So it was a branch from Judah. So that's why they had to go back when it was time for taxes, because they were Judeans living in Nazareth, which was part of Cana. Galilee. They were surrounded by people that didn't necessarily care for them too much because they're from a different tribe. Actually, the town had gotten so corrupt and so bad that when Jesus was in his ministry, one of the disciples said, or somebody said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Thinking of, this place is horrible. It was corrupt. I could talk about what some of the commentators say about that. It was a small village, not like what we're seeing right here. However, Jesus was able to learn a trade. He became a carpenter. Okay? It's not necessarily a carpenter as we know today. Not necessarily doing fine finished work, chairs and that kind of stuff. It would have been more rustic stuff, okay? He learned to read and write. You say, how do you know that? Well, just a few weeks ago, Richard had a sermon on Jesus getting up in the synagogue and reading from the book of Isaiah. Jesus can read. And, we don't ever see him getting any higher education. He didn't get a master's degree or doctorate. I don't think he needed it. By that time, he was flowing with the divine nature, it was in evidence, okay? However, people were amazed at this guy, saying, how could he be so learned? He's just a carpenter's son. You know, and can you imagine always having that tag? You know, you're the carpenter's son. Yeah, like, I'm Peter's son. No. Hope he's not listening to this. He did have a good point. We know that Joseph was a righteous, devout man. He had a good point. Mary loved Jesus. And the family loved Jesus, even though they sometimes disagreed with him. They loved him. They were concerned for him. He had a good home. And I'm sure they taught him scripture and principles. And he grew in that perfectly. He had all he needed to reach that potential, that wholeness that God wanted for him. We don't need that stuff to reach our potential with God. Actually, the stuff might be hindering us from getting to where God wants us. It might be that distraction. Now you say, oh, that's all fine and dandy. You're just giving us that background. Well, we knew that Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, favor of God and man. Those are four categories, and we'll continue to see that. But why did he come? What was his purpose? Was it just to grow? Live materially, have a nice house, pick a fence, a wife and four kids? No. Somebody, please read the verse that's before you.
For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me.
How would you summarize that? Okay, but one word. One word. Obedience.
Salvation.
Obedience could work. Service. Service. He came to serve, to do the will of him who sent him. That's the why and the what bundled together. Let's see another why and a what. Let's somebody else read the next one.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. To set free those who are oppressed. To proclaim
the favorable. Sorry, they got in the steps there a little bit. Oops, I've got ahead of me here. Just a minute. That is the one. Why and what for did he come? Excuse me?
To teach the gospel.
Okay. Let's go back to the one word.
Serve.
To serve.
Yeah.
Okay. He served by proclaiming. He released the captives. Discovery of the sight. Set free. He served by proclaiming the acceptable year of the Lord. That's the why and what. Let's have another why and a what, okay? Somebody else read. Go ahead.
But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose.
Okay. He could have stayed in Nazareth. But he did what? He went to do what he was supposed to do. Again, serve. Now we got a little longer one. Somebody want to read that, please?
Calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, you know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them.
It's for Richard.
Oh, it was for Richard. And their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become greater among you will be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you will be slave of all. For even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and give his life.
I made it to personal space a little bit there. So serve. The what for? Serve. Yeah. What's the purpose in life? It's to serve. Okay? Now, that is so radically different than how our society works. Think about the corporate ladder. It's not that. No. School boards. Mm-mm. In the military. Mm-mm. The politics of this world. No. Hey. Chavez was a good guy. And until he became president. Or the president of one of our the presidents of our denomination in Venezuela. He was a beautiful heart. God bless him. And he was a friend. And I wanted him to be the president. But the minute he got there, okay. In clubs, in boards, and even in churches, we see this. The word for Gentile, if you want to have me dig for it a little bit, it's the same as saying pagan or heathen. So the gentle way of saying Gentile, I mean, would be to say Gentile. But when we say heathen, that is pretty harsh. Pagan can be pretty harsh too. But it also, if there's another word that goes with all that, it's nations. Don't do like the nations do. The Gentiles do, the pagans do, the heathen. It's the same word. The same identical word. Especially in Hebrew. And here we have exercising authority. I am now. No, you're not. Socrates, many years ago, almost contemporary of Jesus, laid it out this way. There was the lower class, the mass. Then there was the ones that were the professionals, and there was the ones that had the knowledge, the gnosis. And the gnosis is the ones that have the knowledge or the power, and they controlled everything. And so often, in Venezuela was the case, I'll ask the pastor because he knows. And we gave a lot of influence for the pastor to have the total absolute control over whether I stayed at the university or not, whether I went to Bible camp or not, and so forth. Those kind of things of intruding. But we have allowed that to go into the church, but it was in our society. It was really rampant there all the way through. And so you have this pyramid system. That's what the Gentiles have. And Jesus comes and says, it's flat. It's flat. We need to serve. Indistinct of race, nationality, education, but not love it. You know, he was the King of Kings, or was going to be the King of Kings. He could have said, I'm in training for King of Kings. I don't need to do any of this. You know, after all, give me this, give me that. He could have called down 10,000 angels and saved them off the cross. He didn't. Because there was a moment he had to grow. He had to grow. He grew so that he could serve. He came to serve. He healed. He touched. He cast out. He calmed the sea for frightful men. He fed. He washed feet. He died. He had intentionality to serve. I'm going to go back to a couple the big word, one of the big words from last week, and I'll tie it together here. He was intentional to serve, and the purpose for his service was transformational. So let's call it transformational service. Last week we had transformational influencer, how we influence others. This week is how we can serve others. The marker of greatness is that of service. We can transform lives by serving. Staying in my ivory palace wouldn't help me to really transform lives. Staying in my little office doesn't transform lives. But it's when I got out to serve. He became a servant of those very ones that he had created. You and me. Grab that. He came to serve the very ones you created. You and this bumble. And he submitted himself to us. And guess what? He got exalted. Isn't that tremendous? He's exalted. Now, where do we begin? Where do we begin? And that would be the application if you're following in the outline there. Give yourself to others to serve. I haven't seen Lauren this morning. I don't think she'd mind us sharing this story. The last couple of weeks, some of the guys have been serving her, fixing her room. Thanks, guys. That's a tangible, physical way of helping. But I'm sure there was emotional and other components that went into that as well. And the relationships that you built, just being together, working together, there was almost this intrinsic thing that was happening, integral, holistic, that was happening as you were working and helping Lauren. I wasn't there, so I don't know everything that went on. Okay. But giving yourself to serve others and seeking the best of others and putting your best for others, you want to know why? There's a side benefit that will help. Because you are doing what God wants you. That's the purpose that he's put on you. Now, in the Old Testament, it talks about four categories of where you can start to serve. Of course, we don't have the Levites today, but we can talk about church with, let's say, Levites, the church. Okay, it's not a true analysis, but let's for the sake of argument, let's just go there for a moment. Okay? Then you have orphans. Widows, the foreigners. Hey, there's two of us here. There's two of us. And good. I'm legal. I have my documents. I've been fingerprinted and vetted so many times I don't even know what that looks like anymore. But there's widows and so forth. Now, think in terms of working into the lives of those four categories, what that would look like. What happens? Let's just back up. Let's make it a little closer to home. What happens if a wife starts to serve her husband unconditionally? She'll be exalted. She will be lifted up like crazy. What happens if a husband seeks to do the best for his wife? She's going to go around town. He's great. He's great. It will be fantastic news. Jesus is therefore the model for us to grow in service, personally, to the church, and then to others outside of our four walls. The sum total is the transformational service. So the transformation starts happening here. Then it happens in my family. Happens here in the church, and then it will happen outside. Why would we do it? It's to help others move towards God. We don't just serve to serve. There's a lot of service organizations. They're not that intent about God peace. But we do it because we want to transform lives image of Christ. Last week we talked of doing this ministry of transformation towards influencers, a ministry of reconciliation. How about we get on board with this transformational service? And here's the question. It's almost scary. I'll turn the mic off for a minute. Is that scary? To what extent do you think that a transformational service is central to our church's understanding? There are those that are doing it A1. Is it sufficient? Why and why not? I leave that in the air. Last week I mentioned that in order to have a healthy church, we had to have healthy families. Let me back that up just one more piece. In order to have a healthy family, I have to be healthy. Health of my family starts with me. It starts with everybody else in my family too. Because the weakest link is where health starts to break down. Okay? Same thing in a church. The weakest family is going to break down the health of the church. And so we need to get healthy families, healthy people, we'll have a healthy church. And then we can influence the community. Jesus grew physically, socially, intellectually, spiritually. This is the model that we need to help others. Let me take a moment and pray. And then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son, worthy of our invitation. Worthy of everything, of all our praise for all eternity. And even though we sang for 1,000 years, we're merely tuning up because eternity is much longer. And we're looking for not the end on that. We so long for that. But in the meantime, in a tangible way, help us to grow in these areas of wisdom, stature, spiritually and socially. And help us to figure out how it affects me, each individual, then how it affects our family cluster or affinity group, and then how it goes on to the church. As we look at that for a moment, give us wisdom in that. Now, hopefully you have your bulletins here. I left a window in blank. That window is in blank purposely. We're going to take a few minutes. My clock went dead. I have no idea. And if I was in Latin America, I'd keep on going. This thing's dead. Literally. It says 9:30. I don't think it's 9:30. What time are we? I don't know. Okay. Take that. What we're going to do is we're going to get into family groups, affinity groups. When I say affinity group, just find somebody that you are sort of friends with or whatever. If you're by yourself, latch on to a family or to an affinity group, okay? But first off, think in those four categories of what that means for you, for Donna, Loretta, Kelly, Gary, Carrie, Dave, Lou, etc. Each one of us, okay? And think of that for just a moment. And then we'll go on. Now, then think in terms of that family cluster or affinity group. What that means for you as you think in terms of the church. Okay? Can you do that? And then I'll give you some more instructions. Okay. didn't get it, so there's the window filled in for you. Move. You can move. You can move. I give you freedom to move to your affinity groups. A group is two or more. Two or more. Like the two of you can be a group. It can easily be a group. Okay? And you can also think in terms of what you're looking at the chat. Is this the first time you've ever done something like this? I think so. I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example from the scripture. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and with all your heart, with all your soul. That's spiritual. Okay? With all your mind, wisdom and intellectually. With all your strength, physically and emotionally. Second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's socially and relationally. There is no other commandment greater than these. We're commanded to do this. We're commanded to do it. What's that window look like for each one of you? What does that window look like for you as a group? Do you have something? Did you write down something? Did you write something down? You did. In wisdom, what? Okay, what in wisdom? What, how does that look? And something tangible.
Ask God, how am I serving him better?
Okay, pray for wisdom would be the action. Pray for act of wisdom. Okay, church, I know that this just barely scratched. Okay? We haven't got any words, really. Will you do me the favor of continuing to work on this at home? Would you work on this at home? Then take here's some other instructions. Like these gals that came up with one for wisdom, what was it?
Wisdom.
What was it? Pray for wisdom. That's the action. Pray for wisdom. Okay? Now, around that, put a circle, if that is this week, which I think it would be. If it's something that's for this, for today, put a circle. If it's for this week, put a square. And if it's for this quarter, put a line. Okay? And because you need to work out. I didn't have enough space. I was actually going to print this thing off and bring three boxes for you. So get another sheet and move this box onto another sheet and work it out, okay? And make a plan for your life that it can be transformational. Hopefully I'm making myself really muddy or clear. tell you what. I'm going to leave it there. Right? I had a few more things, but I think you're catching the idea.
What will you continue to work on? You girls, you live close together, you can keep working, right? And some of you might have to do it by phone or something or whatever, make contact. Continue working on these pieces. Family, get together and look at it and so forth, okay? Carrie, I think I'm ready. Yeah.
What we'll do now is have our song of invitation, and then after that we'll have prayer, and we'll also have prayer for our meal today also. So we do have the words for this. Give my keyboard a second to come on.
It's there.
Yeah, well, my keyboard goes off after a little while. It has a power saving thing on there, so it takes just a second to get back up. There we go. All right. And so we're going to sing, "To God Be the Glory." We'll sing verses 1 and 3. Here we go. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin.